Welcome back to another podcast. I'm Bob Furring, and my guest today is the treasurer of Sun City Shadow Hills, Bruce Marley. Bruce, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you much. Thanks for inviting me. I got interviewed by you about 3 years ago when I was president of the men's golf clubs.
This is kind of fun. And look how much progress we have made. We're in a different room. We've got two mics. I mean, we're living large.
Plus the HOA has progressed quite nicely.
Indeed. Well, to show you how it's progressed, I put out the word on Nextdoor a week ago saying that I was going to be interviewing you, and did anybody have any questions regarding money around here? Not one person had one question, and so you guys must be doing a great job. Everybody's happy.
It's a good question, and the fact there were no questions is also good. We are now a $30 million business when you stop and think about it. Our balance sheet runs about $17 million, and our annual revenues run about $13 million. We've got reserves up in the 80-plus percent range. Our dues are amongst the lowest in the valley. But really, you got to go back 3 years ago when Carrie Thompson, my successor, became treasurer. She brought a new level of professionalism to the job. Plus, she recruited Bill Wethy to run our finance advisory committee. And then concurrent with that, we hired Tyler Engel, our controller. Mm-hmm. And so my job's really pretty easy today because I got a very powerful, strong finance advisory committee, and Tyler Engel, who's a DRM employee, works specifically for us, and his ability to pull the numbers together makes my job easy.
Great. Well, I like to start all the interviews with some personal information.
Certainly.
How long have you lived here, and what were you doing when you in your working life? And
well, the first question was we bought a home here in April 11, closed it in June 11, and moved in late August 11, and we have been spending most of our time here. We have a little home up in Corvallis, Oregon, so we can escape during the summer of the heat. My career was banking and finance. I was in banking and finance for 36-plus years. Mm-hmm. As a start as a teller and worked my way up to a couple of executive positions. So I had a good career. I enjoyed it. I've been retired 10 years. My wife Claudia and I have been together 44 years, which is kind of fun. And just now, about an hour ago, our daughter, son-in-law, and grandbaby showed up for a few days. So life is good. Plus, I had a good round of golf today.
Well, you know, it doesn't get any better.
That's pretty good.
For the audience, would you describe what the role of the treasurer is?
I'm going to say it's twofold. The first piece is to ensure the numbers and the finances and the reporting are accurate and correct and timely. That's my primary job. I sign a lot of contracts. I approve 200-plus invoices per month, spending about $1 million of your money. I'm liaison to the Finance Advisory Committee. I'm liaison to the Golf Advisory Committee. And I've been liaison recently to the new Health and Fitness Committee. So you can lump that all into one piece. The other piece, which is the most fun, is working with a very functional collegial board, looking at the tough issues in the community and making some tough decisions. We've voted 5-0. We voted 4-1. We've gone 3-2. We don't agree in everything, but this board is very functional, very collegial, makes a lot of good decisions. And even though we don't agree on things, we're doing a good job.
Good, good. One thing that always comes up is the role of the restaurant in Sun City.
Yes.
They show a loss, but there's more to the story.
As with any private golf club, you're going to be paying dues, and those dues will always underwrite food and beverage, always. We have a restaurant that probably would be a 19th hole, not a true restaurant. You could put $1 million into it, which I wouldn't support, but you could do that and maybe make it a more fancy restaurant. But when we're seasonal and half the people leave for 5-6 months out of the year, it's just never going to make money. We have 5 venues. We have the main restaurant, we have the snack bar, we have the bistro, and we have catering, and then we have the little restaurant here in the Santa Rosa. And just by the nature of the beast, this restaurant has never made any money, never will. We're down now to about $7 per house per month of subsidy, which is 25 cents a day, 30 cents a day. And that's the price that we pay to have the amenity there when we need it and want it. And it's kind of, what's the term, making silk out of a sow's ear. the facility itself just was not set up right, and to make it right would probably never generate a profit. So it's an amenity. The golf course is an amenity. The Montecito is an amenity. Pools are amenities. Tennis courts are amenities. All these things cost money, and one of them happens to be the restaurant piece in the food and beverage.
Okay. People are always interested in the dues they pay.
Yes.
And so would you describe the process of setting up, like, what we're going to pay next
year? Yes. Well, minimum wage was a big kick this year. Added about $250,000 of expense to the P&L. It's going to be the same this next year, probably $250,000 specifically to minimum wage. The process is twofold. Over the course of the year, the Finance Advisory Committee and Tyler, our controller, and myself keep an eye on where we are, both actual and forecast. So as the year progresses, for instance, we're at the end of March, we're going to have a forecast of 3 months actual, 9 months forecast. And that's going to allow us, come August, September, to have a pretty good feel for what the year is going to look like, and then we'll jump into budgeting for 2020. The process is that we go to the managers, we go to the advisory committee chairs, and we seek input from them, and we try to collate that into a manageable budget. Also, because we have no employees, we have to go to DRM, our property management company, and we go to Troon. And they, too, are charged with providing their best estimate of what the 2020 budget for them might be required. This past year, as a for instance, Troon was going to want to raise dues for a round of golf by a dollar. We went back and said, guys, you got to make it $2, because it would have the lower amount would have required more subsidy for golf operations. Getting the $2 increase kept it about where it was in 18 for 19. And I can guarantee you that when we look at budget for 2020, Troon's going to have to probably jack rates another $2. It's just what it takes to run it. So at the end of the day, we have input by certainly the FAC, Finance Advisory Committee, the controller, myself, the advisory committee chairs, and certainly DRM and Troon. Kim is already on record saying that, okay, we know minimum wage is going to impact us next 2 or 3 years, and we're going to charge both DRM and Troon with holding their payroll increases, because that's our biggest expense, to pretty nominal amounts so we can try to balance the budget. So at the end of the day, we come up with a lump sum of costs. We divide it by 3,450. We divide that by 12, and we come up with what the monthly dues need to be. This past year, the budget that we approved called for dues of $270 a month. As you know, the charges are $265. The reason being was that for 2018, we had a surplus of cash, your money, and we could have kept it in the bank, which I probably would have preferred, but I got overruled on that. And the decision was, instead of jumping dues from $259 to $270, let's make it more palatable to take it to $265, realizing we had extra cash in the bank. Now for 2020, we won't have that luxury, quite probably. The chance of having as good a surplus in 19 as we had in 18 is 50-50 at best. So chances are we're going to have to look at a fairly substantial dues increase. I'm hesitant to have a number because I don't have a hard one, but it's going to be $15, $16, $17 over the $265. So we're probably going to be looking at a $280 dues, which still puts us amongst the lowest in the valley, Coachella Valley, puts us comparable to Sun City Palm Desert, which we like to compare ourselves. So at the end of the day, you got all the costs, everybody's wish list, and you divide it by 3450 and divide by 12 again to see what the monthly is going to be. And if we got to start cutting costs, we will. If we have to say we got to raise rates in certain areas, we will. Coincident to the golf costs going up this past year, food and beverage costs went up. Troon is charging more for bacon, lettuce, tomato sandwich, charging more for a Coke. That's what you got to do to balance the budget.
And a big role, which is part of the dues, is determination of reserves,
yes.
Money that's not going to get needed for a long time. So how to describe that process?
Well, every year we have there's three levels of reserve studies, 1, 2, and 3. And each year we do one of those. every third year in a perfect world, we're going to have a full-blown reserve study where the reservists come here, measure all the streets, look at all the pools, look at pumps and the like. Currently, the reserves are running just over 80%, which is very good, very high, one of the highest in the valley. Of the dues of the $265, roughly $42 of that goes into the reserves every month. Last year, we didn't spend as much as we projected, and that's part of the reason that we probably got by with a slightly lesser dues rate this year. For this year, for 2019, I suspect we're going to spend something around $2 million of maintenance and pump replacement and pool deck getting done, maybe some slurry coat, but that's where we are. And there's three levels of reserves. 0 to 30% is considered really poor. 31 to 79% is ballpark. Anything above 80 and above is considered very, very good, and we are there. By the end of the year, we may dip below the 80% because we're going to be spending $2 million of your money. Keep in mind, we can't think 5 and 10 years. We've got to think 15, 20, 25, and 30 years out. And as this facility gets older, that component of dues has to go up to keep pace with the current and projected costs.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and finally, one big expense that people are going to see in the near future is the redecoration of the Montecito Clubhouse. Tell us about that.
They are going to love it. We had a great interior decorator, a great committee came together. Carpet's going to be redone, painting's going to be redone, furniture's going to be new, artwork's going to be new. It's going to bring our facility from 2005 to almost 2020. I think when you walk in there in about 6 weeks, you're going to be very, very, very pleased with the color scheme. These are professionals. They know what colors work and what colors don't work so well. The budget number is, it's in my head. I'm going to just venture a guess, probably $100,000, but we had more reserved for it. So this would be a case we're not spending everything and reserved. It's going to be a firecracker of a place.
That's great. That's great. And so when all the Canadians come back in the fall, they're going to see a much better looking clubhouse than the one they left.
We're advancing 15 years, if you will, and colors have changed. Furniture needs to be replaced. Interestingly, all the furniture is going to be up for grabs in kind of a silent auction. Anybody interested in it can go to the silent auction, mark down, and that they want this piece or that piece. We're trying to give it away. We are a not-for-profit corporation, so there's no tax benefits of us giving things away for tax benefits. There is benefit to give it away to people that might want to use it. Mm-hmm. But yet you are going to love the Montecito.
Great. Well, on that positive note, we'll draw the interview to a close. Bruce, thank you for coming in. And to the audience, if you enjoyed this, please tell a friend. Until next time, bye-bye.